Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Defalcation and Trustee Misconduct Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 13, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Bullock v. Bank Champaign N.A., a bankruptcy case. Bankruptcy law provides debtors a means of discharging their otherwise unmanageable debts, but there are exceptions. This case involved an exception for debts incurred through a type of misconduct known as defalcation. The question here concerns the degree of trustee misconduct required to trigger the defalcation exception and whether such conduct can include actions that did not actually result in a loss of trust property. In an opinion delivered by Justice Breyer, the court held unanimously that the defalcation exception requires that the individuals have knowledge of or act with gross recklessness with respect to the improper nature of the fiduciary behavior in question. The court vacated the decision of the lower federal court and remanded the case for further proceedings. To discuss the case, we have Zee Rosen, who is an adjunct professor at New York Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Rosen.
The Supreme Court has just decided a case of Bullock versus Bank Champaign, which regarded the question of what the word defalcation means in the context of whether a debt is dischargeable. Effectively, under Section 523A4 of the Bankruptcy Code, a debt is not dischargeable within a bankruptcy proceeding, in other words, it's not excused, if someone is a fiduciary and the debt results from defalcation. Now, defalcation is a rather old word. In this case, it involves determining what that word means. The background of the case involved someone who was the trustee of his father's trust. He lent money based on the race of the father's trust, at the father's urging, to himself and his mother. His siblings sued for breach of fiduciary duty involving breach of loyalty. Now, he repaid the original amount borrowed plus 6% interest, but an Illinois state court ruled he had to pay back $250,000 in lost profits as well. He was unable to do so. Now, Bank Champaign is his successor trustee of a trust. They refused to liquidate property to allow him to repay the debt, and he filed for bankruptcy. In his bankruptcy proceeding, Bank Champaign, a successor trustee of a trust, said that he had committed defalcation while acting in a fiduciary capacity. And the bankruptcy court for the Northern District of Alabama held that he had committed defalcation because he had violated his fiduciary duty. This was affirmed by the district court for the Northern District of Alabama and the Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. At oral argument, the parties were discussing the three-way circuit split regarding what defalcation means, which very briefly, the First and Second Circuits had said it means extremely reckless conduct akin to scienter in a securities law context. You know, the Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh Circuits, and then the 11th Circuit in this case, said the defalcation meant objectively reckless conduct, which effectively meant breach of fiduciary duty that the trustee should have known about, even if he did not actually know about it. And finally, the 4th, 8th, and 9th circuits had a standard which didn't look at intent. It was effectively a strict liability standard, but rather where there had been a diminution of trust funds that the person held in trust. Bullock's, the debtor, advanced either the argument that means extremely reckless conduct or the argument that requires a diminution of trust funds or both. The petitioner, Bank Champaign, argued for the objectively reckless conduct that the 11th circuit had in fact applied. And the Office of the U.S. Trustee argued that defalcation just means violation of fiduciary duty without looking at intent. A lot of people were saying, the U.S. Trustee had not been, the Supreme Court had agreed with the U.S. Trustee every time for the past 15 years, presumably they will as well. But after our argument, the court seemed to be leaning towards the third approach of strict liability coupled with the requirement of diminution of trust assets. So the court's decision came down, and surprising pretty much everybody, the Supreme Court ruled that defalcation means extremely reckless conduct akin to scienter in a securities law context, essentially following the First and Second Circuits. The court's language in this case is not entirely clear. The court says defalcation is a state of mind as one involving knowledge of or gross recklessness in respect to the improper nature of a relevant fiduciary behavior. It's not entirely clear what that means at first. It's a confusing formulation. And then the court explains its rationale and refers back to a case from the 1890s, Neal versus Clark, as to what fraud means. In the same context, in Neal versus Clark applied the doctrine of, you have to excuse my pronunciation here, Noscitur Isaucius, which basically says two words that are located similarly to be interpreted in a similar manner. And in Neal versus Clark, because fraud was next to embezzlement, and embezzlement requires actual bad intent, therefore fraud must be required to have, must be interpreted to have, require bad intent as well. So the court said, okay, Neal versus Clark applied it that way. So too here, now that fraud, which we know is actual fraud because of Neal versus Clark, and defalcation right next to each other, then defalcation is to be interpreted that way as well. And the court then says, therefore, this is akin to scienter in the securities context, and even though the court doesn't use the word extreme recklessness in so many words, the court is pretty much, it seems from the decision, enshrining the First Circuit decision in Bayless, which first decided the extreme recklessness standard as the standard, to effectively look to securities law to determine whether it would be this intent requirement for securities law. Now, this is a bit of a surprising decision. It ignores opinions that I've raised and others have raised that defalcation is about conduct and about trust assets much more than it is about intent. And the court itself is critical of intent at oral argument, saying, intent to do what exactly? Are we referring to intent to commit acts? Are we looking at knowledge of fiduciary duty? And that, so what it means is not entirely clear in this case, but basically the relevant case law to look at is going to be the case law interpreting the First and Second Circuit standards, as well as a few decisions from the Third Circuit and other courts where there is no circuit precedent, which apply the extreme recklessness standard. Where this means going forward beyond that, the court expressly refused to say whether there is a conduct element to defalcation. So the question is, there's a requirement of intent for defalcation that look at the extreme recklessness standard. There may also be a requirement, there is diminution of trust assets. There may not be that requirement. The courts in the First and Second Circuit that apply the extreme recklessness standard, the scienter standard, do not require a showing of conduct, but the Supreme Court expressly refused to rule on, indicating that that question was at least open. It did not close that question. As for the instant case, the debtor is likely to get his discharge. There was every indication that his conduct was made in good faith, and the Supreme Court was clearly skeptical of the conduct of Bank Champaign, a successor trustee. An oral argument, they seemed to indicate that Bank Champaign might have unclean hands, and so the case is remanded to the bankruptcy court in Northern District of Alabama, which will likely decide that Bullock had not displayed extreme recklessness. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.